This is A View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today is Wednesday, the 25th of February, 2015, and my name is Patrick Smith. We have Colin Shields, we have Mark Hitchcock, we have David McGimsey, and of course TV's Neil Russell coming right up to look over what was not the best weekends for the Belfast Giants. How many times have we said that, unfortunately, this season? We've some great chat coming up when Hitchie looking at that Challenge Cup semi-final second leg in Nottingham as well. If you want to get in contact with us, kingdomofthegiants.com/podcast is our website. At AVFTB on Twitter, of course. Podcast at kingdomofthegiants.com is the email address. And soundcloud.com/AVFTB for all of our post-game interviews and other things besides. Right, let's go for it. Well, things we hoped would get better, they didn't really get that much better. We did get a point from the weekend, and here to talk about it, first of all, David McGimsey. How are you, mate?
Hey, Paddy, thought you were going to break into a bit of D-ream there. Back in the day, things can only get better. They certainly can.
And also joining us, Neil, the coach, Russell. How are you doing, buddy?
Evening, Paddy.
Well, before we get stuck into the weekend's games, we had the chance once again to stand on the stage in McCool's on Sunday afternoon, and for what was a very feisty A View from the Bridge live. The show went online there a couple of days ago and has received some great feedback, Coach. It was an interesting show, to say the least.
Yeah, I think the three of us expected it to turn out the way it did. I think we all knew it was going to be a bit of a feisty one. I think we'd build it up ourselves anyway, as that. A lot of people, a lot of frustrated fans, a lot of annoyed fans, a lot of fans with a lot of questions. And I, you know what, I've been thinking about it a few times. You know, I've seen all the remarks that have come through to us on AVFTB Twitter, and it's the feedback overall has been very, very positive. And it needed to be done, Paddy. You know, in my opinion, I think those types of forums are a really good gauge for the ownership, for the club in general, to kind of see what the, I was going to say the real fans, you know what I'm saying? Certainly the fans of the A View from the Bridge podcast, the listeners who were
the real fans, then, the real fans. That's
yeah,
what
the
saying.
Real
that's
fans.
Saying,
that's what I'm saying. To kind of gauge what their thoughts are. I think social media will probably tell you most of their thoughts and what have you, but sometimes it's good to actually meet up in those types of scenarios and just see what people's thoughts are. I thought some of the questions were very pointed, but you know what? So what? You know, none of us were offended by it in any way. You know, I've seen some tweets flying around from people saying, you know, I thought that question about your compromisation of AVFTB was out of order. None of the three of us thought it was out
not
of order at all.
And
not in the slightest. None of us were offended at all. And to be honest with you, I thought Nigel asked the question in a real gentlemanly manner, which is exactly what he is. He's a gent. And, you know, I thought it was a superb forum. And as I say, it's great to see so many people there on Sunday. And thanks for everybody for turning up.
Absolutely. It was a big thank you to everybody who turned up and got involved. I think we'll get Rev on to be a permanent member of the panel, David. but David, I think the one word that stuck out, and everybody's been saying it, is passion. Passion for everybody, for the club.
Absolutely. When my driver picked me up to take me to the policy on Sunday, I have to be honest, as I said to him, that I wasn't particularly looking forward to it. You know, I could see it far enough because I thought it was going to be a bit of a tough afternoon. But it's funny, whenever you're challenged, if you like, you know, and not in a bad way, but just challenged verbally, it sometimes gets the juices flowing. And it was a really enjoyable hour on stage. You know, it was a good interaction, as coaches said there, the likes of Loki and Chris and all. You know, I think we gave as good as we got there. Their questions were well structured. Chris had his stats with him.
Yes.
You know, Nigel, as coaches said there, asked the question about impartiality, whatever, in a very respectful way. And I think it's a question that people have wanted answered for a while. And I think If they weren't there, they go back and listen to it. If they were there, I think we answered it pretty well. And it did come across, and especially when you put the CEO on the stage, you know you're only going to get passion from Robert. You know, he's the club number one before he's the CEO and he's a trust member or whatever. He's a Belfast Giants fan, and that comes across really loud and clear.
Yes, and there was a bit of a thing when word got out of some of the things that he said, maybe a bit of a misunderstanding through Chinese whispers, but with Robert being on there, the response that we've got, Dave, has been positive regards to what he had said.
Into the hundreds, actually. Last night I was just doing a bit of, as I do, statting. And there was over 300 either retweets, favourites, replies to what had gone on, and easily another 100 today. So, you know, 300-400 interactions with people about the podcast, about what was said, about what wasn't said perhaps, and how it was said. But yeah, you know, it was a good show. It needed said. What was said, I thought, was perfect within the context that it was said, and I've got no qualms over standing over that as one of our better products.
I thought it was great. Well, if you want to listen to it, it is on iTunes and on kingdomofthegiants.com. It was A View from the Bridge live Sunday on the stage. You can download it and let us know what you think at AVFTB. Well, that's a little bit of the positives. Let's go into the games. Saturday against the Edinburgh Capitals, the Belfast Giants were subject to a 6-4 defeat. Giants goals came 2 from Robinson and 2 from Garside, while the Caps goals came 3 from Yarlin, 1 from Hartman, Collins and Naslund. Now, we've talked a bit about this in the live podcast, and if you want to hear more about that, you can go, as we said, and listen to that. So we'll skim over this quickly, Coach, but the one word that really came out from it was abject.
It was one of the hardest games I've ever had to call, and unfortunately I've had to say that a few times this season. Sis and I was going to say couldn't believe what we were seeing. It was abject. I mean, our D zone coverage, Davey was the one, as he always does, broke it down, and people were blaming Carson Chewback for some goals and what have you. He maybe would want one or two of them back for sure. But our D zone coverage, our D has just recently, in the recent past, just fallen to shreds. And I mean, they just left Chewback high and dry on Saturday evening. Our physicality, non-existent. Our tape-to-tape passing, non-existent. Our entry into the zone, our setup in the offensive zone, awful. Dump and chase hockey. It was attritional. It was boring. It was poor from us. We just did not. I know I go on about this a lot, talking about emotional engagement and, you know, jumping out of the traps and all this type of stuff. We are lacking a spark. And Saturday evening was a real, real low point for me this season. When the Edinburgh Capitals come into the Odyssey Arena and stick 6 past you, it's time to kind of give yourself a bit of a shake. I think that's her first victory, Paddy, at the Odyssey since 2006. Am I right in saying?
I think that is right, yeah.
Nearly 10 years since they last claimed a victory. Do not get me wrong. I do not want to take anything away from Edinburgh. You know, we have talked quite a few times this season about some of their players. They have definitely, as Davey would say, tooled up this season. Yarlin back there, guy Greg Collins scored a lot of points in Holland last year. Richard Hartman's a super. His goal dangled round Chewback was absolutely superb. I think it was maybe the 5th goal of that game. So they have some impressive players, but I mean, I say it on a fairly regular basis, stack up the Belfast Giants squad against the Edinburgh Capitals squad. Sorry, lads, it has to be a 2-pointer, and we were very, very disappointing on Saturday night.
Davey, as Coach says there, you know, when you look at the Edinburgh Capitals, you only play what's put in front of you. And the Capitals came in and put together a decent game. Now, as you say, put those two rosters side by side, it should be a Belfast Giants banker. But you've got to give credit to the Caps.
Yes, to a certain extent you do. What we always do is reflect, I suppose, on the Belfast Giants performance. And I think we've said over a number of weeks, I think the coach has said it as well, we're fragile at the minute. And we came out and we got that early power play goal through Nathan Robinson, home debut, scored a lovely goal after really good work by Jeff Mason, who then, you know, lays it to Sawada, who holds and holds and produces a beautiful pass for Robinson, who's just lent off the play and scores an absolute wonder. And we're flying at that stage. Power play goal, wind in our sails, first period doing well, and see when we can see the goal, that's whenever we look fragile. It's just like, oh no. And there's an element of panic. You know, we broke the goals down, and defensive coverage on Chubak, you know, isn't good enough on those goals. And, you know, you win as somebody earlier there, you win as a team, you lose as a goalie most of the time. You know, it's easy to blame the goalie. You know, they have to get past everyone else first. And we've spoke a lot over the last few weeks about, you know, when we're not scoring, you need some help. You need some help from your D. You need some help from your goalie. And at the minute, we're just not getting that, you know, that pull out. And unfortunately, mistake after mistake, defensive battles were lost. Shape, we got out of shape, and we players that you wouldn't expect to make basic mistakes. And that's what's killing us. Individual errors are killing us at the minute. And unfortunately, you know, that was an opportunity lost there, because you're absolutely right in what you're saying. You stack these rosters up against each other, there's no comparison in them. There's very good players line up for Edinburgh, but, you know, we've an all-star defensive core, you know, four guys there who have all been nominated and played in the all-star, been selected for the all-star teams, players that have been round the block and made catastrophic individual mistakes on Saturday night, really, really badly out of shape. And we defended the coach on Sunday night in the podcast, you know, when people said, this is a coaching issue. It's not. The coach works on these things during the week, but he doesn't go and tell players where to stand on the ice. These players know where to be. And on Sunday night, badly, badly out of position, badly out of shape, and making bad mistakes. They're not coaching issues. They're fragile confidence issues. I've talked about it for weeks. This team is a team bereft of confidence. And until we can get a wee bit of confidence, a wee bit of wind back on our sails, we're going to struggle. We need just to turn the corner somehow.
Well, not to labour the point on this, we did go through it a lot at the weekend. So if you want to see the highlights, if you really do want to see the highlights of this game, Giants Live TV. We move on to Sunday. The Sheffield Steelers in town, and unfortunately the Giants suffered another loss, this time in overtime, 5-4 to the visiting side from Yorkshire. Giants goals came from two for Peacock. Again, Robinson scores his third of the weekend. Elfring got the other, while the Steelers two for Fredder, Forney, Dowd, and Cullinetti with the overtime winner. Joining us to chat about this, our resident Steeler fan and the man who statistically lost last week's debate, Mr. Mark Hitchcock. How are you, mate?
I'm good. I'm
Vote
good.
Paddy, I think it was. So a little victory for me. The Steelers came into this game, mate, with horrendous netminder problems. You know, there's no Doyle, no Eunice. You'd Woolhouse play the night before in Coventry in a loss and take an actual injury. The talk beforehand was that Andy Isaac would be going in the net, but it was actually Woolhouse himself who went between the pipes. But a decent enough performance for the Steelers in that situation.
Yeah, Sunday was completely unexpected. I watched the game live online.
Thanks, coach.
hashtag thanks, coach. It was obvious what we needed to do to win the game, and I expected it to be just a very, very tightly packed defence around Woolhouse. I know Woolhouse skated into Belfast with a groin injury. Normally, when we go over to Belfast, we leave with groin injuries. Less said about that, the better. Look, they came out of the traps, didn't they, very well, Sheffield. I mean, yeah. It happened again on Tuesday, which we'll talk about, hopefully. We needed to score first. We needed to jump into a lead. And I remember when we were at the point where we were 4-2 and 3-1 up, talking to you guys during the game saying, we need this cushion, because if the Giants give us a bit of a wave of offence, then with Woolhouse in goal not even being 100%, never mind the fact he's a third choice netminder, it's going to be difficult to cling on. And you guys got straight back into the game, and then we went into overtime, and I remember saying again, we need the first quality opportunity, because the first one the Giants get, you bet your arse they'll score. We got the first chance, and it was a great steal in the defensive zone, wasn't it, and skated up, and the bearded beauty scored it.
Davey, following on from what we've just talked about with regards to the Edinburgh game, and Hitchy brings it up there as a very good point, the Steelers played a real shutdown day around Woolhouse. They restricted a lot of shots. And we have talked in the past about how the Giants maybe aren't you know, putting off chances are. But to get through that, the Steelers knew exactly what they had to do around that Wheelhouse goal. They restricted the avenues and they restricted any rubber that was getting anywhere near them, and it worked.
They were playing a very good road game on Sunday. They certainly limited the shots on Wheelhouse. Second period, 5 shots from the Belfast Giants, not really good enough, you know. And you know, you think they've had this real shutdown game, they did in their own end, but they've gone out and, you know, fired 35, 36 shots at the Belfast Giants at the other end of the ice. So it wasn't just a case of playing a shutdown game on their own, you know, trapping a side or anything. You know, they played a very, very good game of hockey. And unfortunately for us, we came roaring back at them in the third period. We just couldn't get it done. And another individual mistake in overtime has caused us, you know, the potential of the extra point.
Do you know what else impressed me really, sorry to burst in, is the Steelers, to win the game, they had to be disciplined. And I know there was comments on the webcast during the game about some of the refereeing decisions, but we only were shorthanded once during the entire game, and I think that was very, very important for us to pick up the win. I think Hewitt got a couple of penalties. One was a coincidental minor, wasn't it? With a Giant. So if the Giants had played the game with a lot of more power plays, we saw the games in the new year. I think one of the games in particular in the second period, when you bombarded us and had what seemed to be power play after power play through ill discipline, the goals kept just raining in, and that was on a top quality netminder. I think the fact that we kept disciplined really did help with the result as well.
Coach, that discipline, like, we had Hicks and Darnell refereeing that game, and the Giants were really falling foul time and time again, especially through that second period.
Yeah, and getting caught out, no question about it. Hitchy articulates it pretty well there. He'll obviously say that the Sheffield played a really disciplined game. We'll obviously say Belfast didn't because of the amount of penalties that were taken. But at the end of the day, Paddy, the overall performance, you know, I was angry on Saturday night. I was really disappointed on Sunday. I mean, Sheffield Steelers are a bloody good hockey club. We've said it. They were my favourites right from the get-go this season. Stacked with quality. But whenever Jeff Wheelhouse appears, playing on one leg, apparently he could barely walk out of the Odyssey. He was barely able to walk into the Odyssey.
That was Sis, mate. That was Sis. You've missed it.
That's very true. It's very true. Big guy struggling at the minute. But yeah, you know, whenever Wheelhouse comes in, he's injured, picked up a groin injury. I mean, okay, Sheffield played a good defensive game, blocked down shooting lanes and all the rest. But for me, we just did not get it. What did we say? 5 shots in the second period on Wheelhouse? That is wholly unacceptable. Yeah. Wholly unacceptable. We are not creating anywhere near enough. And again, we talked about physicality and coming out and playing with emotion. I just didn't see it again this weekend. You know, and I've said it so many times, just something just isn't working. And obviously the big thing on Sunday, Steve Thornton made a big decision in dropping Kevin Westgarth out of that lineup. I think it was the right call, given what I'd seen on the Saturday night, given what I've seen overall of Kevin Westgarth. Still a big call to drop a Stanley Cup winner and a guy who's just come out of the NHL for the past 7 seasons. But hopefully that might poke the bear and get this big guy engaged. Of course, it can work one or two ways, can't it? That type of decision. But a bit of heart from the boys coming back in that third period, bringing it back to 4-all. But overall, not a great performance again, probably not by a long shot.
Well, I was going to just say to you, Davey, you know, I'll suffer the wrath of Andrew Anticott by saying, can we draw a positive from the fact that we were 4-1 down and we pulled it back to 4-4? Now, goalkeeper playing on one leg, granted, but you've still, when you're 4-1 down, you still have to find a way back into the game. And can we draw a positive from the fact that the Giants did find it?
Of course you have to, and hi Andy, you've got to, as I said on Sunday, you've got to find positives. You've got to, you know, be positive when you come to games or else you're beat already. What has annoyed me the most, I think, over the last while is the lack of offense from RD, if you like, the lack of transition hockey, the amount of time that the likes of Calvin Alfring is chipping the puck out of his own end off the glass rather than, you know, leading the rush as is his game, as, you know, Jeff Mason's game. You expect Cody Brookwell to sit in there, but you expect the other three to be, you know, producing those, you know, sort of mazy skates through the centre of the ice to take the offensive zone and then we'll set ourselves up. That's just not happening this season.
Sorry, just to butt into that, do you think that's down to the fact that we've spoken in previous podcasts about maybe not having an amount of confidence in Carson Chewback? Do you think they're afraid to leave the zone they're afraid to basically pinch in the way that they have been doing before because they feel they need to be a bit more tight around the net?
I'm not sure, Paddy, and it brings on to that, you know, Coach talking earlier about, you know, playing the dump and chase game. The dump and chase game is only effective if you've got D-men breaking and they're the ones dumping the puck in, because the sense of your forwards are generally standing at the blue line waiting for the chip in. And what we're doing then is chipping it out of our own zone. A forward is then taking maybe the centre line and whacking it in. And then you're too late on the dump and chase. You know, you're too late on the forecheck. And so that's just our transition game. We're not transitioning well and we're not chasing the puck into the other end well. Is that down to Chewback? I don't think we can blame everything on him.
No. I think, I think Dave sums it up perfectly. You know, we talked a lot last year and indeed at the playoff finals, Mac Faulkner made a note of it, saying that that's what's for him what set the Belfast Giants last season apart from all the other teams was the excellence of the transitional play from the back with Elfring, Mason and Sandrock. For me, it has been pretty much an ever-present this season. Now we know that Steve Thornton loves those transitional type D-men. Like, I remember wasn't it Mike Burgoyne that Steve Thornton brought in?
Fantastic traditional player.
What a hockey player that guy was. And so Steve Thornton likes those types of guys, but we just haven't seen it this season. And that's whenever Stephen Murphy was in goal as well. So I'm not so sure. Maybe now the, you know, Chewback's had a few very poor games overall. But I'm not so sure, Paddy, I think it's maybe been a bit more prevalent than you would think throughout the course of the entire season.
Hitchy, coming out of that game now, you know, we'll move on to talk about the Challenge Cup semi-final in a short while. But the fact that the confidence that must be instilled in the Sheffield Steelers side, given the situation with the Netminders. And of course, we now know from the Steelers PR that is one of the greatest feats ever to happen in hockey. Better than the Miracle on Ice, better than anything else. So the confidence that must be running through that side must be very, very high.
Absolutely, and I think I was getting a bit of stick on Twitter today because I wouldn't say I'm as emotional as NT when my team aren't playing very well, but I can be critical.
You're the Sheffield NT 100%.
Sheffield NT, that's it. At Sheffield NT is going to be my new Twitter handle. Look, the Steelers needed to group and they needed to play with passion. And before the weekend, I actually expected reverse results. But when you actually think about it logically, the Coventry Blaze are fighting for a playoff spot. You could argue the Belfast Giants don't really have that much to play for anymore in the regular season. They should win. They should try and to win every game. I can feel Coach's vein in the side of his head popping.
Correct.
As I say that. You know, Jeff Woolhouse, it's been documented. He played on one Jeff leg for the entire game. The players just wanted to win for him. And it was just that mixture of good discipline and just coming out all guns blazing. And I was very proud of the result. And it gave me a lot of confidence that I didn't have before the game for what would follow.
Well, we'll move on to that now. But if you want to see the highlights from that game, and you know the Giants did roar back and it was a very interesting game to watch, I thought, but you can get that at Giants Live TV. We'll go straight to looking around the league, seeing as we have Hitchy with us, and Sheffield Steelers defeated Nottingham 8-7 in the Challenge Cup semi-final. They went into the NIC, was it two goals down, Hitchy, and proceeded to pull it right back to a 7-7 winning on penalty shots. But After Jeff Woolhouse being injured, the Steelers had to go and look for a replacement netminder, and they found that in former Nottingham Panther, now second string Telford Tigers netminder in EPL, young Sam Gospel, formerly a season ticket holder at the Panthers, and he was registered with the Panthers at the start of the season, and he basically beat Craig Kowalski in the opposite net and put the Steelers into the Challenge Cup final. Hitchy, in the lead up to this game, you were going on about Brock Lesnar and breaking the streak, and you were able to do that. Did you expect that going in, considering Sam Gospel was between the pipes?
No. And, you know, Jared Adams has got a lot of stick for saying he didn't know who Sam Gospel was before lunchtime on yesterday. Neither did I. Well, the Gospel, according to Mark Hitchy, says that, you know, he will always forever have the key to the city and Sheffield, which is, granted, it's only TK Maxx and a couple of very, very dodgy pubs. But he came in and did a job. the Panthers were almost a victim of just not hammering them and littering them with enough shots, a little bit like the Giants on Sunday, which makes you start to think maybe actually it's the defensive work rather than the teams facing them. We came out all guns blazing in Belfast, but oh God, didn't we half come out all guns blazing in this game. I only followed the game via Twitter. I know it was on Radio Nottingham, but I decided to just try and keep one eye on it and just concentrate with the other eye and the rest of my body on the wife. And it was unbelievable, wasn't it? And then they came back to 3-3 at the end of the second. I thought, well, you know, we've given it a good effort, felt proud. I think I did some Heather Small type tweets and... it was just insane. And you said miracle on ice about Sunday. I mean, this was up there with anything I've ever seen the Steelers. And I've seen over the years, I saw us once go to Newcastle with so many injuries that Mike Blaisdell played the game and we won with two lines and one goalie somehow. And this was up there with it, because as good as we've got on the forward line, and yes, maybe we did need to score seven goals on the night to even stand a chance because we knew the Panthers would score. Nottingham have arguably got the best goalie in the league, but he probably had the worst performance, and I've seen the highlights that I've ever seen him play.
Oh, it was absolutely shocking. Some of those goals that went past him is not the Craig Kowalski that we've seen in the past. Coach, the one thing that started from those highlights, apart from the hilarious commentary from Gary Moran, is the team performance that happens there. You have Forney blocking shots with his face. You know, the Steelers went into the NIC behind the eight ball, and they had to really put in a good performance. They worked together as a team and they came out of there with the win.
I think all that you have to see to do with the Sheffield Steelers team is the video that Simsy uploaded today.
Don't say what?
Yeah, quite funny. Our good friend Mr. Hitchcock got blocked on Twitter for using the F word, but Simsy's able to upload a video with about 500 F words in the space of a 1 minute clip. But you can see the euphoria of the Sheffield Steelers boys after the game. You could see how much it meant to them. I watched the highlights of the game. You're quite right. Some of the block shots, you can just tell the guys skating really hard, finishing their checks. They're up with the play. They're tape to tape passing. It's clinical finish. And you can see whenever players are switched on at the end of the day. And Sheffield were really, really switched on. And you know what? You know, that's the type of thing that Jared Adams, I know you're not, I'm a huge Jared Adams fan in terms of his overall coaching. But for me, that's what Jared Adams does. He's a player's coach. Guys buy into him and they'll go through brick walls for him. And that's, I think, what we saw last night. And obviously with the goaltender, Young Gospel, in goal, it was going to be a really difficult task going into the NIC. But Steelers did really, really well. And I would quicker see Sheffield in the final than Nottingham myself.
Well, I'll move with that straight on to our good friend David Najimsey. Davey,
I was just queuing him up there.
Davey, with the Nottingham Panthers having such a lead at home, with their number one netminder in goal, for them to concede and to actually lose and not go to the final is disgracefully bad for that team.
Yeah, as you said, Paddy, earlier there about the commentary, you know, disappointing for Nottingham, disappointing for GM, the GM saying, you know, Sheffield having never won the Challenge Cup before, apart from the four times that they did. And, you know, biggest rivalry in Europe, apart from the ones in Germany. And unfortunately, they were going to go to the prom, and then all of a sudden it was just the pink carnation was ripped off of the trail, and they're not going to the prom anymore. Seven goals from Sheffield in Nottingham, five goals from Sheffield in Belfast, with arguably two pretty weak goaltenders who have, you know, stood on their head for two games. That's what you get sometimes. It's sport that happens, and I'll not lose any sleep over Nottingham not going to the prom.
I felt sorry for Rob Farmer at the end of that game. He seemed to get an absolute verbal battering from Gary Moran, who kept asking he looked like he was going to cry. Because Gary Moran saying, you know, you came in here with such an advantage and it's all gone. And I think his reply was just, yeah, it's rubbish, isn't it?
Yeah, he was pretty disappointed that Gary Moran gave him a good going over. And it was interesting. He went for exactly the same move on the penalty shot.
Yeah.
That he beat Chewback with the other week, and only for the crossbar saved the Gospel on that occasion. And you know, that's disappointing for the Nottingham players. Hopefully that puts them in a, you know, keeps their confidence down there, and they'll maybe not win another game this season with any luck.
Gary Moran, his questioning of Rob Farmer, I mean,
unreal.
The only thing left for him to ask was, "You feed beef burgers to swans."
Yes, a nice little Partridge Coat on it. Well, listen, Hitchy, the Steelers move on to the neutral venue for the Challenge Cup final of, let me check, the Motorpoint Arena. They seem to be facing their sister club, the Cardiff Devils. What are you expecting from that final?
Well, hopefully it'll be better than the last time we played Cardiff in the final, because we lost 12-1. Mm. Granted, it was 21 years ago, and at the time I had hair and had my virginity, but I think it will be an incredible game. I would say at the moment, along with the Clan, obviously, who have got just as a tougher schedule as all of us, they're the three clubs at the moment that look like they could win every night. The Blazers, well, obviously, have been playing well, but they've bottled it tonight. But I think Sheffield-Cardiff will be a good final. I think that the place will be packed. There'll be 15 Welsh people singing that anthem in Klingon, and then there'll be the rest of it Sheffield fans. And I think it'll be a good game. And also, you know, controversial, but I'm delighted for your old mate Todd, because, you know, he's gone into Cardiff, not a lot, you know, he's turned the team around, and he's got them, we think, we're live, that he's got them to a Challenge Cup final. So fair play.
Listen, stick with us. We're going to have a quick chat now about the Bray Head Clan. They lifted the Gardner Conference title, regaining it by beating last year's conference champions, the Dundee Stars. And coach, it still remains in Bray Head's hands, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. They are in pole position. They sit up there at the top. I suppose the big question mark is, a lot of their guys, the coach included, have never gone on and won championships and what have you. It'll be the first time ever for their club to win a league championship. Obviously, very early into the club's inception, but it'll be interesting just to see if they've got the ticker for it down the stretch. You know, all it takes is a bit of bad form. Obviously, Chris Frank's out for 9 games. Hitchy says one of the best imports ever to come to the UK. Big Zach Fitzgerald thing. He's maybe another game of his 3-game suspension still to go. But it'd be interesting to just see how that all materializes. But you know, I was looking at some of the fixtures yesterday, actually. You know, they've, what, maybe 8 or 9 games left, of which they've got 5 inter-conference games. You know, a couple against Edinburgh, 5, another one against Dundee. You know, so you kind of get the feeling that the Bray Head Clan will probably should just pip the Sheffield Steelers to the league championship.
Well, you bring up Dobbs there, so just to correct you, coach, Frank actually received 6 games.
6 games
for the head, but also Dobbs highlighting that was mainly because he was also a repeat offender. Also, Zach Fitzgerald, as you say, 3 games, and he is a repeat offender. Hitchy, I think compared to some of the tariffs we've seen in the last few weeks, these tariffs are probably correct, but maybe it was that inconsistency that's maybe raised a few of the hackles up in Brayhead.
Yeah, they've got to look at it, haven't they, as the bigger picture of what these players have done previously. And I know there's a lot of comments been made about getting a game ban for digging your skate blade into somebody's shin and what these guys in Brayhead have done. But I think you've got to look at it as the repeat offence. And I'm not a huge fan of Dobbs. You know, I think he does a great job at running the Sheffield Steelers and the Elite League. But for me, it's not the right way to do things. But Brayhead are going to be crying now that if they do lose this league championship, which is theirs to lose, are they going to be blaming it on these suspensions? Are they going to be blaming it on Dobbs? Probably. But I think the actual bans that the Brayhead players have got are fair, if I'm honest.
Well, Davey, there was a blog from a Brayhead fan. A lot of Brayhead fans on Twitter and the likes shouting about this as being a conspiracy. One guy, you say, blogging that, you know, the EIHL is a closed shop for the big boys and that should put any North American players off from playing in the Elite League. It seemed you're obviously going to have that reaction considering it, but having looked at both offences, you can see why they were given those tariffs.
Both tariffs are absolutely fine, but the one game for kicking somebody in the knee with a skate is absolute nonsense. This is where it all comes back to vote Davey. You know, Dobbs have got no consistent, and just saying a repeat offence, okay, they're going to deal with them slightly harsher. You know, kicking somebody is unacceptable, whether it's the first time or the fifth time you've done it. One game was a nonsense. These games, the amount of games these guys have got for these two offences is absolutely fine. So I don't think there's any great conspiracy other than Dobson made a complete, as I called it the other week, they dropped the complete bollock the other week whenever they were doing it. It was just the wrong decision for Brookwell and for, who was it on the ground doing all the kicking and stuff?
Colby Cohen.
So good they named him twice.
Looking also around the league, Roy spoke about Nottingham, a bad weekend for them, a bit of a similar rut to ourselves, another 0 point weekend, but punctuated by that Challenge Cup semi-final collapse, while the good weekends are for the Blaze and the Cardiff Devils, both with 4 point weekends, and the Cardiff Devils taking wins over Sheffield and Nottingham. Quick look at that league table. Brayhead sitting top with 63 points off 44 games. Sheffield only 3 points behind and a game in hand. That's 60 points off 43. Cardiff, 60 points off 44. They're still within touch and distance. Nottingham and Belfast, most likely out of it. 54 points for Nottingham off 43. 53 points for Belfast off 45. And then coming down the list, Fife, Coventry, Hull and Edinburgh with 42, 42, 39 and 39 respectively. There's a real battle going on there. Dundee, 44 and 25. They're more or less out of it. Hitchy, we've spoke about that top level. We know about the title race. But that run for those that final few playoff spots is really, really hotting up.
Yeah, and speaking selfishly, I'm glad, because we talked about Brayhead's running. Take away Dundee, they're playing teams every week who've got something to fight for, which means maybe it isn't over at the top or the bottom. But that race for the playoffs is really, really, really interesting at the moment. Coventry, for me, are definitely the form team down there. Edinburgh had a little bit of a peak, didn't they, a month or two ago. Yeah. But the Blaze at the moment, I mean, I went to see them play Cardiff in the Cup semi in the Sky Dome, and they were dreadful. But apart from that, you know, they've been beating Nottingham. They've been beating all the big boys. And I was there when they beat you guys. So, It's going to go to the wire. I'd absolutely love to see Hull miss out on the last day.
Well, the thing is, Coach, Hull, you know, they've only played 40 games, the least amount of games in the entire Elite League. They're only 3 points behind Coventry, with five games in hand on both Coventry and Fife. So the ball is definitely in Hull's court to just hold on to that playoff spot.
Yeah, it is. I've been impressed with Hull. I've seen quite a few of their games over at the Odyssey and over across the water. You know, I've said this a few times on the podcast. I think it was after our very first game over in Humberside. Steve Thornton, you know, came back and said, you know what? Hull are actually a damn good team. They're fast. They're nippy. They're constantly at you. They're strong in the forecheck. They have a couple of really good snipers in their team. And they're kind of like a bit of a relentless team. They just come to work every single night. Pasha's got them all playing as a collective body. And, you know, I think compared to last year, they had a pretty poor year last year. But it seems to have turned around this year a bit more for the Hull Stingrays, given their limited budget. So, yeah, it's going to be a real battle for it. Don't discount the Edinburgh Capitals there as well.
Well, that's it, Davey. The Edinburgh Capitals, that win at the Odyssey Arena is going to help them along. You know, they've got two games in hand on both Coventry and Fife with only 3 points behind. And as I said, they both hit you in the coach. It's a real battle down there.
Yeah, and it sort of adds a bit of credence to the conference system. You know, that apart from making it tight at the top, it's now made it tight at the bottom as well. This is two or three seasons in a row now that the teams near the bottom have had something to play for come the end of the season. And I suppose that was what it was created for, as much as for the competition at the top. I think they still expected this sort of, you're not in Panthers, Neil Black teams, whatever, to be near the top. So I think they're happy with the system, as you say, Vote Paddy. Edinburgh, I think, will sneak in there. I think Hull will be the team to miss out.
Well, on that note, Mark, thank you very much for joining us. We'll speak to you again soon.
Thank you. Ta-ra.
Earlier today, we got a chance to talk with Colin Shields, who this week in the press, you know, started to talk about how things were going within the camp and how there's a no-excuse culture now coming into the back end of the season. And he chatted earlier on this evening with our very own David McGimsey.
Joined this evening by Colin Shields. Colin, thanks very much for joining us.
No problem, David. Pleasure.
Colin, let's look at the stark reality of things. You know, 4 wins in the last 15. It's not really good enough for a roster with the, you know, the depth and quality of the Belfast Giants.
No, I mean, obviously everyone's expectations, including the players, the coaches, management, and fans as well. Obviously, our expectations coming into the season was to be competing for all 3 trophies, or, you know, 4 trophies if you include the conference. And it's definitely disappointing to kind of been out of the race for, of the league trophy, and obviously not in the Challenge Cup semi-final, you know, at this point. And it's not somewhere we wanted to be. I think, you know, we've obviously been going through a really rough time lately, something that I said the other night, something that we haven't really experienced in my time here. We've always had a lot of success, and I shouldn't say things that come easily for us, but, you know, we've always had to work hard for the success we've had. But it seems to be one of those ruts that we just can't seem to get any breaks or bounces, and just seems to, everything seems to be going against you. But you know, you just got to try and reset. And Steve's obviously made some good points and some changes and things that needed to be done. And I felt like on Sunday, you know, we obviously got off to a bad start and got behind the 8 ball again. We're down again, you know, 3-1 and 4-1, but did show some good character, I thought, coming back. And could have hopefully been a nice little stepping stone for us, a nice confidence booster going into the kind of remaining games. And then, you know, we obviously lost in overtime. So it kind of takes a little bit of wind out of your sails. We have to just kind of learn from the mistakes that we made. And, you know, like I said, obviously making lots of mistakes lately. So it's trying to just eliminate those. And, you know, the biggest thing is trying to keep the goals against down. And, you know, the last weekend we scored, I think, 8 goals, but generally we haven't been scoring a lot of goals. But we've been keeping it pretty tight, I thought, but obviously lately we've been leaking quite a lot of goals. So we have to try and, you know, shore up things at the defence, and not just at the defence, but, you know, all 5 guys on the ice. And, you know, that's where it starts, and hopefully the goals will come.
You talk about expectations and frustrations, and as you say, fans are starting to vent their frustrations a bit, but there'd be no one as frustrated with the situation, you know, as the guys in the locker room.
No, I mean, yeah, I mean, you know, it's our job, it's our livelihood, it's not just something we do, you know, for fun or on the weekends or something. This is where, you know, pretty much every guy on the team makes their living and has made their living their whole career. So you know, everyone's just as frustrated as the fans are, and just as frustrated as I'm sure Steve is as well. So, you know, the guys care a great deal about the team and about each other and winning and losing. And everybody that's been here for a long time knows how important winning is and how important bringing trophies home is. And, you know, even the guys that are new to the team, I'm sure, you know, coming into a team like this, they were told the expectations, and even when they were here, they learned the expectations and the history of the club. And it's extremely frustrating, and trust me, we're trying to do everything we can to get out of it and trying to get things turned around. And you know, we still have some games left, and we kind of want to get on a roll and kind of, you know, hopefully hit a good stride going into the remaining games and into the playoffs.
And is it just a case of practice, more practice, team meetings, and just that sort of belief that, you know, the bounces will start going your way?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like the harder you work, the more bounces you kind of get, one of those things. So I think we just kind of have to work a little bit smarter. You know, I think in games we are working hard, but we're just making some critical mistakes at some bad times, whether it's a bad penalty or a turnover or you know, a defensive mistake. We seem to be making them, you know, maybe perhaps too often. You know, it seems like when you're in a bad run like this, when you do make a mistake, it ends up the back of your net. You know, whereas in the past, if things have gone well, it just seems like you make a mistake and all of a sudden the bounce will go your way and you'll go down and score a goal or you know, you'll get a power play or something. But it just seems like when things aren't going your way, it just seems to always kind of go downhill like that. And, you know, I thought, like I said, on Sunday, we kind of made a comeback there and we started getting some confidence. And I thought in the third period, I thought we played really well and we put some good pressure on them and you know, got the puck deep and cycled down low and made some good plays. And, you know, we made a good job coming back there. But then again, we just make a mistake again and, you know, the puck ends up in the back of our net. So it's just a matter, I think, of, you know, being critical and not critical, but just, you know, sticking to the game plan and making sure we limit our mistakes and attention to detail, I think, is kind of key going down the stretch.
a lot's been made recently, I suppose, that Steve now has the luxury of being able to sit a healthy body, and a lot's been made of who he sat and the line changes, and, you know, there's been a lot of chopping and changing of the lines. Is it now, there was a question asked on Sunday there, is it time just to try and get some lines and just settle them down, or are you happy enough that the lines would chop and change almost on a, you know, shift to shift rather than almost game to game?
No, I mean, Steve makes the changes that he thinks are necessary and puts the players in the positions that he thinks are, you know, going to make the team win. And, you know, he's a coach, so you have to respect any decisions he makes. You know, that's his job, and that's what he's behind the bench for, or, you know, that's why he's got the job, because he's good at making those decisions and the ones that he thinks are going to give us the best chance to win. So, yeah, it is a little bit different, you know, considering, you know, before maybe you played with the same guys all the whole season or, you know, for a while, but we got extra bodies and some guys coming in and out of the lineup, so things are going to change. But, you know, he practices with guys every day, so he should know, you know, some of their tendencies, even if you haven't really played with them in games a lot before. He still, you know, he still pass pucks them in practice or went in drills with them in practice, so he should still, you know, a little bit about them and as far as that goes. And, you know, we've all been professional hockey players for quite a few years now, so you should still be able to play with pretty much anyone they put you on there with. And, you know, like I said, Steve's just going to do the, you know, what he thinks it is that's going to make the team win.
It's been a pretty difficult season for Steve coming in, just with all the changes that happened just whenever he took the job over. And he's a coach that must be feeling a bit of pressure at the minute, but it's good to hear the organisation coming out this week, the players coming out in public, you know, backing their coach.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's never easy coming into a job like that, especially, you know, like I said, after the season we had last year where we pretty much had the walk of the league and everything pretty much went our way. So, I mean, it was probably going to be a little bit unlikely we were going to have the same record as last year, just because we were so fortunate with the injuries. And then this year we had a lot of injuries off the bat, and things were kind of up and down. And, you know, we managed to keep it together for a while there, and then, you know, obviously things just kind of caught up with us. And like we said, we're on this bad run. But, you know, it's probably one of the most difficult jobs in the league, obviously, with maybe ourselves, Sheffield and Nottingham, the coach of those teams. Is, you know, under a lot of pressure to win and, you know, bring trophies home. So, but, you know, he's done a good job so far. And like I say, he's just trying to do what he has to do to try and make the team win and give himself a chance to try and be in the running for a trophy by the end of the season.
Been a bit of talk about your Scottish brother there, or cousin, as it is, Stephen Murphy, making perhaps a playoff, you know, return or a charge for the playoffs. Is that something that might look likely, or is that something that would give the team a big boost?
Yeah, I mean, I can't really comment on, you know, a player that's injured or when I expect him to come back, but, you know, it'd be great to have him back. Obviously, it gives us the luxury of having another import forward to play, but, you know, I'm not really sure what his timeline for coming back is, and can't really say on that. But, you know, he's won championships with us before, and he's been the best goalie in the league the last 5 or 6 seasons, so that would be a boost, you know, for us as well. And, you know, Chewy's done a great job since he came in. Came in a tough spot halfway through the season there when Steven was injured, and, you know, trying to step into those shoes or skates as such is, you know, probably one of the toughest jobs there is in you know, at least in this league, but in sports as well, when you've got a goalie who's the best in the league and then you're trying to live up to those expectations. But, you know, he won us a lot of games. When he first came in and shot a lot of teams out and kept it to 1-goal games, and, you know, we're involved in 3 or 4 games that were 0-0 till the last minute, or, you know, ones that went to shootout and stuff. So I think, you know, people have to remember that he did a great job for us, and, you know, it's a lot of pressure being a goalie in any sport, and especially in hockey and especially in this market. So, I think he did a great job, and, you know, you have to kind of, you know, commend him for that. And, you know, things haven't been going well lately for us as a team overall. It's a team sport, and, you know, there's 5 guys on the ice, there's 18 guys on the bench, and, you know, we all play as a team, we win as a team, and, you know, we lose as a team as well. So it's one of those things where, you know, sometimes it doesn't go your way, but everyone's got everyone's back, and, you know, when Steven comes back, we'll be welcoming him. But, you know, like I said, Chewy did a great job for us this year, and, you know, people shouldn't forget that.
Let's look forward to this weekend now with a With a bit of positivity, Hull coming in the R barn on Friday night, although we're 2-3 against the season, they're no mugs. And then we'll go to Cardiff on Sunday night looking to avoid a sweep down in the bay there. It's two big games, but two winnable games.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like you say, the record against Hull hasn't been what it probably has in the last last while, or probably in the history of the Giants. So it's something we want to kind of, make sure we come out Friday night hungry and, stick to the game plan that we put together this week and make sure we really know that we want to just take it one game at a time, kind of cliched. But, Hull is the team that can really come and bite you if you make turnovers, if you you give them a 2-on-1 or a 3-on-2 or a power play. They're a team that can really hurt you. And we saw that earlier this year, obviously quite a few times, but, when they played at the Odyssey the last time. So we're a team that we're going to have to make sure we play a smart game against. We're going to have to play intense, obviously, but stay out of the penalty box and make sure we, play a detailed, game, which is physical, and put a lot of pressure on their goalie and the defense, and then hopefully, get a good result on Friday and get a good feeling back in the room, and then on to Cardiff, which I thought we've had kind of mixed results against this year, but, we've played pretty well, down in their rank this year, even though we've had some mixed results. I thought we've played some good games. It's been intense, and hopefully pick up some points.
And then we can't let you go without, as we always do, given Total Performance Fitness a bit of a pimp, the
self-plug, yeah.
The place up in the Donalds getting a bit of a refit there.
Yeah, we're opening a new training facility out in Dundonald, so it'll probably be open for general public type stuff after the season, probably about the start of May, so it'll be an official opening. So keep your eyes open for that. But yeah, I decided to just kind of take it to the next level for the summer and hopefully get some more athletes in there and obviously some other personal training clients. And we've got a great facility there. My dad and his couple of his buddies have been working hard over there, getting things shaped up. But hopefully get it kind of officially open probably about the start of May and get a good summer in there with the boys.
Well, Colin, as always, thanks for your time. All the best for the weekend. We'll catch up with you over the weekend.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate that.
Thanks again to Shieldy, one of the true gents of British ice hockey. Davey, we don't have an Ask Davey, but we asked for a hot topic. What do we got?
Ooh. Phil Tossin. This is one that was actually, if you were at the live podcast or heard it on Sunday, it was discussed it very, very slightly and one that Shane Johnson brought up on the webcast on Saturday night. And it comes from Philip Thompson. Pete Thompson, 1980, well, actually Pete Thompson, 1982. On Twitter, how important is line consistency to building confidence within a group of players and building a successful team?
Well, it's very good. It's a brilliant question. I think the Belfast Giants aren't the only team to have suffered that problem in the last number of seasons. When you start to get a couple of injuries, it starts to break that chemistry, it starts to break that momentum. And on the flip side of that, you look at the way the Belfast Giants played last season, and we've talked about it time and time again that the Paul Ailey just had to come in, coach, and he just had to go, you, and that's it. And the Giants benefited from it.
You could probably flip it on its head. I agree with you, by the way, but you could flip that on its head if you want to be pernickety about it and say he kind of looked at his players in practice and during preseason and said, you know what, those are my lines. I'm going to throw them together and those are my best players. Those are my best combination. I'm just going to stick with it. And if they don't find a bit of chemistry, they will eventually, because that's what I strongly believe are my lines. The more which I have seen us this season, and listen, I said it on Sunday, and I'll say it again, injuries have scuppered a lot of Steve Thornton's plans. Make no bones about it. Kevin Surratt has missed the bulk of this season. We didn't sign our 12th import until November. Other guys were out injured. It's been so difficult. But for me, we've been pretty much running with a full import quota for what, the last 6 weeks. For me, it's pick your lines. Just what you as a coach genuinely believe to be your best lineup. Let's just leave it at that. Throw them out on the ice. Keep them together in practice and just forge that chemistry, because we really, really need it now leading into these playoffs. The league's gone, make no bones about it. All the other cups are gone, we can still take a bit of a punt at the Earhart Conference. I think it's going to be a difficult one to retain personally, But yeah, for me, it's an excellent question, and for me to gain that kind of chemistry, we need to keep those lines together.
Well, thanks to Philip Thompson for that hot topic. Listen, let's blast on through to these two games coming up this weekend. First up, Friday at 7 PM at the Odyssey Arena, the Hull Stingrays return to the scene of their last win, which at the Odyssey. 3 wins for them out of the last 10 games. And like I say, they've already done the double over the Giants, Davey, this season. And one of those wins of the last 3 was the 3 they've got from the last 10 was over the Panthers. So despite the fact they're only, you know, they've lost 70% of the last 10, the state that the Giants are in, we just need to try to take any win that we can.
Yeah, they're no mugs, you know, they're always well-disciplined team on the power play, you know, they're always a good team with the extra man, and they take a lot of stopping. Tanaka and Lyson, two really top-drawer players, and they're getting a bit of better goaltending this season. They've lost Bynes, obviously they've brought Brian in, and he's doing okay. He gives them a chance to win, and that's all you can ask from your goaltender, and this has to be, you know, we're saying it every week, hopefully something just helps the Giants turn a corner here. Be a lucky bounce in, be a one off somebody's backside just to get us going. Get that first goal, get that first period win, you know, come out with that intensity and hopefully seal up the back end. This is what's going to be important now. Scoring a goal, defend on our own blue zone is going to be as almost as important as getting that first goal. Being tight in the first period, I'm getting something at the other end. If we can get that and get a bit of confidence, a bit of bit of wind in our sails, you know, who knows what's going to happen this weekend? Friday night is crucial for Sunday night. You know, it's a real 2-game series here, apart from them being against different teams. This is a big, big weekend.
Coach, it's not just the change of attitude on the ice and a win in ways. It's also a change of atmosphere in the Odyssey Arena, because there were a few moments of real cheering and real euphoria at the Odyssey. Maybe was it the hit on Cullen Eddie and the goals that were scored, but overall the atmosphere of the Odyssey seems to be one of both concern and dejection, and the Giants need to use this game at the Odyssey to try to turn that around.
Yeah, I actually made reference, Simon and I both made reference to it on the webcast, something that I really noticed on Sunday. I mean, again, something I've said to you two guys, obviously you guys aren't able to be back in the Odyssey for a lot of the home games due to where you live, but you know, the atmosphere this season, really since the inception of Boomerang Corner, which has been brilliant, Joel Neal, all the guys over there, absolutely superb. They've really generated a superb atmosphere, which has drip fed itself then around the arena. But it's fair to say at the weekend, Sunday especially, my goodness, it was, see if Simon and I stopped talking, you could actually hear the players talking out in the ice. It was like a morgue. And you're quite right. It's got a bit of a, I was going to say poisonous. Poisonous is totally the wrong word, actually. No. It's got a real worried feel to it. So it has. Fans are sitting there, they're anxious, they're questioning things, they're apprehensive as to, like, what's going on here with our team? Like, you know, what's going on here? You know, we're just not at the races at all. And at times, we've often said it in the podcast, haven't we? You know, there comes a time when fans have to help out the team. And I think this season at the Odyssey Arena, our fans have been exceptional. I mean that they've been exceptional, because I've been a critic at times of how quiet the Odyssey can be. The Odyssey this season, on the whole, really since Boomerang Corner came in, has been exceptional. And there's, for me, the players have got to start to stimulate the fans. And it's a worrying thing in some ways, because the fans are now coming in worried and apprehensive. And obviously, as David keeps on saying, the players are playing with a lack of confidence. So, like, you know, someone's going to have to lift the other one up here. Mm. It probably falls to the fans. Sorry, am I boring you, David? It probably comes to the fans.
Wait a bit.
Sorry. Cheers, man. It probably falls on the fans to try and stimulate the players. But as I say, the players have got a big role to play in that as well.
I have to say, I was stood up amongst them. I know the Neil brothers and Johnny McCulloch and all these guys that were there. And the Boomerang Corner has really taken on its own identity. as the fact that they make so much noise and they're just relentless at times with what they, and yeah, they, I think they, I saw a bit of criticism that they were maybe at times on Sunday a little bit quiet because at the end of the day, they're fans. So there are times that you're trying to take in the game and it's affecting you. But more often than not, those guys are really helping to develop that Odyssey, Odyssey Arena atmosphere, and more credit to them. The game on Friday night, 7 p.m. against the Hull Stingrays. Get yourself down there. And if you can't, Coach Ann says we'll be on Giants Live TV Sunday.
Incorrect.
Oh, you're off. You've got Premier Sports, don't you?
Yeah, but I'm in Glasgow on Friday evening. So it is Shane Johnson and Simon Kitchen.
All right. So it's Premier Sports calls and coach runs. That's how it works. moving on to Sunday evening. The Cardiff Devils at the Big Blue Tent are the Belfast Giants opponent. 6 p.m. And the Devils, 6 wins from the last 10. And of course, tonight, I believe they've won their second leg of their Challenge Cup semi-final to progress to the Challenge Cup final in a couple of weeks' time. So that's six. That would be 6 wins on the bounce for Cardiff, 4 away, 2 at home. And Davey, that's one team that are high in confidence.
High in confidence, formidable team. Good lineup, speed, strength, all the things that you want from a hockey team, you know? They are still chasing. They're in the three-horse, you know, race now for the league. I still think that they're probably just a bit too much to do. I think Sheffield and Cardiff, with having to play each other 3 times, they could be, you know, the critical point that gives Bray Head the actual championship, because they just, they'll have to take points off each other. Good side. We've watched them a lot over the season. Their strength is their size. Their strength is that wee rink at home, and they can move the puck about very, very well. We're in for a physical encounter. I'd be interested to see, I don't know if Hendricks played tonight. Is he back from his injury or not? He didn't sell out?
No, he played tonight, and he was like a wrecking ball out there for Cardiff.
Well, it'd be interesting to see if there's any carryover from the Westgarth Hendricks coming together in the last game at the Odyssey. You know, I still think there's a bit of unfinished business in Cardiff for Kevin Westgarth this season. Hope to see him in the lineup on Sunday night doing his wrecking ball impression on Trevor Hendricks.
Coach, it's been changed times for the Belfast Giants this season in the Big Blue Tent. There was a time when we'd walk in there and always walk out with 2 points. Not so this season. The Cardiff Devils seem to have had our number.
Yep, very much so. A good team. I watched the webcast this evening, the Challenge Cup semi-final. Kelman and Lord have worked their magic this season. Make no bones about it. It's been absolutely superb for the Cardiff Devils. That place is packed out. The atmosphere is electric. They've built a, as Davey says, a really good team. Big, physical, they're in your face, but they've got players like Brent Walton, Joey Martin, Jake Morissette. They've got small, speedy, nippy, skillful snipers mixed in with the grit and the size. And that's the winning combination for me. You've got your power forwards with Andrew Lord and all that type of stuff. You've got size back on the back end as well. Good goaltending as well. Ben Bounds maybe went through a bit of a sticky spot there a month or so ago. I was talking to Kelman about on Monday about Ben Bounds, and he was saying, you know, he went through a bit of a difficult spot, you know, for 4 or 5 games, but he's really come back into a lot of form. And you know, whenever you go into the Big Blue Tent, you know you're going to be physically engaged. If we're not switched on emotionally into this game, if our head is not 100% ready to come and play, we'll get beaten. It's as simple as that. We saw a lack of emotional engagement last weekend at the Odyssey Arena. Go into the Big Blue Tent, you don't turn up and play with emotion, you're going to get beaten more times than not. So it's a big weekend for us in terms of trying to get that momentum, Paddy. 2 difficult games, make no bones about it. You've already said Hull done the double over us. Cardiff, they've had our number this season. Unacceptable. We're a bloody better team than the Hull Stingrays. We're a better team on paper than the Cardiff Devils, in my humble opinion. We need to start playing with a lot of pride and emotion leading into the playoffs. So important leading in for the next month.
That game is on Sunday at 6 p.m. at the Big Blue Tent. You can catch it on their webcast or live at Lavery's, and we might have a few updates coming from a view from the bridge also. Any other business, guys? Davey, I'll come back to you on this, on the Amy Usher campaign, the shirt that's ongoing for Colin Shields. And we lifted quite a few pounds on Sunday. The Belfast Giants fans stepped up.
Oh, yeah, set on the target at the start of the podcast to say that the Nottingham Panthers the other week had donated over 70 quid, so the Giants fans on Sunday came up with well over 100, and a couple of really generous donations on Monday morning. We has rounded it up to £600 exactly at the minute in the pot, so
brilliant.
Really, really pleased with that. It's a big deal what yous are doing out there and what the money yous are doing, giving it for, and really pleased that we can be a part of it.
Fantastic, fantastic. And unless there's anything else, gentlemen? No?
Nope. Well, let's hope the boys get a 4-point weekend.
That's it. Absolutely. And I'll speak to you again next Tuesday.
Cheers, Matt.
Cheers, Paddy. Cheers, Dave.
Bye-bye, mate.